This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, inviting you to stay tuned now to hear our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr. The messages he'll bring today is true and false repentance. Oh, my friend, true and false repentance. You know, the greatest thing that ever happens to a poor soul is to be awakened to the fact that he needs to be saved and that the Lord will grant you true repentance. You know what repentance is, my friend? I have a cornfield definition. It's taking the blame. Have you ever took the blame, my friend, for being a sinner? You're a sinner. Have you ever seen yourself as a sinner? I have. Oh, my friend, what a sinner. But you know what? Luke 19:10 says, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. So the message that you hear today is true and false repentance, and I'll give you more information at the close of the service.
In this day of emptiness and shallow religious profession and hypocrisy, we need a new evaluation and the Bible concept of the true God of heaven. The God of the average pulpit and pew is not the God of the Bible, but is only a figment or creation of their own imagination. A spiritual and saving knowledge of God in Christ is the greatest need of every human creature in this day in which we live. An unknown God, listen now, an unknown God can neither be trusted, served, or worshipped. A mental concept of God or an intellectual knowledge of God is not sufficient. Something more is needed, and that is a saving knowledge of God in Christ. The God of the Bible can be truly known in the soul only as we yield ourselves to him and submit to his authority in Christ Jesus, and that all of our lives, in every detail of them, regulated our conduct by the Holy Spirit and precepts and commandments through the Holy Spirit. The average person's concept of God, whether in the church or out of the church, now you get this, the average person's concept of God in the church or out of the church is most dishonoring and degrading. In our day, the majority of those in the pulpit or the pew, instead of searching the scriptures for themselves, lazily accept the teachings of others because the God of the Bible is unknown to them. This has resulted in man degrading God by bringing him to the human level, and the only God he knows is the God of his own imagination. The God worshipped in the average present-day so-called church no more represents the supreme sovereign God of the Holy Bible than does a dim, flickering taper resemble the glory of a midday July sun. The God referred to in the average pulpit or the Sunday school class or the average Bible conference or written about in much so-called religious literature of the day is just a figment of the human imagination and an invention of emotional sentiment. Now that's true. We talk about the heathen bowing down to gods of wood and stone, and we make much to do about it. But within so-called Christendom today, millions have manufactured their own God of their own carnal mind and worship the image of their own imagination, and they dared to place their own opinion up against the Word of God. Now that's true, my friends. You, the average individual that comes to pray or to worship, they wait for that mental image to come before their eyes. And usually it's the image of the picture of so-called Jesus in your Bible. That's what you have. Now you think that through. The individual who cries down Holy Spirit conviction sets aside Bible repentance and places his opinion up against God's eternal, inerrant word, knows nothing about Christ, and when he dies, there'll just be one more face in hell. That's all. The present-day religious program is to make the world religious without Christ. Christ is unknown to the human heart who never knows Bible repentance. One preacher said one day, said, "You tell that fellow Shelton that I am saved, and I know nothing about repentance and don't want to know anything about it." And a woman sent me word and said, "Tell that preacher that I belong to the faith tribe. I don't know anything about repentance, and I don't want to know." Now you listen. That's a terrible state to be in. You cannot build a religious life in Christ without a foundation. And repentance is the foundation of faith. In Revelation 16, 8, 9, listen. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give God the glory." Isn't that an awful statement? Our subject is repentance, false and true. In this scripture, we see God pouring out his wrath upon a people who have rejected the Son of God. And when he has scorched them with fire and great heat, they turn and blaspheme his name and will not repent to give God the glory. They will not to repent. Let me call your attention to this fact. All men are within reach of divine judgment. No individual can escape the judgment of God. You can't. Appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. No man can resist the power of God's justice. I know preachers have done their best to take the sword of justice out of the hands of a sovereign God, but they haven't done it. My friend, you cannot fight God and win. If you cannot flee from God and escape his divine judgment, then why not flee to him for mercy? Awake, sinner, come with haste. Come running to the Father and say, "Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against thee and against thee alone. I take my place as a lost sinner. I take the lowliest place at thy feet. Forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy upon me. I have sinned." May this be the attitude. May this be your cry at this moment. When we look at this terrible judgment, we see that judgment apart from the grace of God does not, nor can ever produce, a satisfactory saving repentance in the hearts of minds of men. Judgment may produce a carnal repentance, a fleshly repentance, a repentance that is of the flesh, but the old depraved heart remains the same. The outward life may be changed, but the heart is not changed. You do not have a new heart. Your cry should be, "Lord, give me a new heart." Ezekiel 36:26. Carnal repentance is caused by fear. I remember that during World War I. In my old home community was a young man. He came to church one Sunday who had been called into the army. He was crying. And after the message, he came down to the altar, made his profession of faith, joined the church, asked for baptism. The boy was scared with an inch of his length. I also remember that when he came up before the draft board, He was turned down. 2 weeks after he was rejected by the army, he was back to his same old life, living in sin. This was carnal repentance caused by fear. That's false repentance. And there was no change of heart. Every thief repents when he's caught. Every murderer repents when he stands on the gallows. Folks on the sick bed facing death will repent, but there's no change of heart. The vast majority who have made such repentance on a sick bed never meant it. They didn't. Men may tremble in great storms, confess their guilt, pray earnestly, but when the storm is over, the sky is clear, they return back to their old life. This is wretched work and gives God no glory. It is like the dog that returns to his vomit again and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Such repentance is the outcome of nature under terror and is not the fruit of divine grace. Now you listen. Fleshly repentance tends to corruption because it is still flesh and will last only for a season. It is like seed that is sown on stony ground. It comes up quickly, but perishes with the first hot sunshine. Such repentance is superficial. It does not go to the heart, but as I've often said, is only skin deep. It may be professed loudly and with many tears, but it does not go down deep enough to make the sinner hate sin and turn from it. It does not lay bare the corrupt heart and let the sinner see his corruption until he comes to abhor it and cry out against it. Take Herod as an example. He heard John the Baptist gladly, heard him often. John was true to his soul. And no doubt, many times he turned away from John the Baptist saying, "I'll put her away now. I will close the door against her now. I'm going to clean up now." But when he got away from John the Baptist, all of his repentance turned to nothing and went back to the same old life. He cried out against Herod's sin, but Herod's repentance was sheer hypocrisy. For when he came to the crossroads and finally had to make a decision, he chose to put John the Baptist to death and keep his adulterous wife. Now I'm going to make a statement here. You listen. I believe every sinner who goes to hell can tell you the exact place and the exact time when he made the decision and made the choice against Christ and against the truth of God's word and turned his back upon the truth and turned toward hell. Also, I believe every saved person can go back to the time when he made the turn. He accepted the truth and made the turn toward Christ, and nothing would turn him back. Now you let that soak in. Standing before the judgment bar of God, every sinner, there's the time. A pastor was called in one day by a man who was dying. And the pastor started telling about Christ. He said, "Pastor, shut up. I know the time and the place when I made the decision against Christ. I am going to hell. I'm dying. There's no hope for me. I made that decision against Christ. There's no hope. He's never come back to me. He's never given me a call again." And he turned his face to the wall and breathed his last there in the presence of that pastor. Now you better think seriously. You get this truth. Let me tell you something, friend. You get this truth. Real heartfelt repentance hates sin. It tears away every idol from the heart and breaks them to pieces at the feet of the risen Lord. It pulls every viper from the human heart and slays them before His sovereign God. It may be the love of money or things, no matter what it is. Go with it. Take it. I don't want it. I want Christ. I want Christ. It's not a sheer hypocrisy. It's not a make-believe. It's a definite decision in your heart that I'm going to Christ. This type of repentance is a despairing repentance. It is not deep enough. It is shallow. It lacks the elements of bringing glory to God. It is legal and worthless to salvation. It never breaks up the human heart. It never causes the individual to mourn over his sins. I've been accused of telling people that had to mourn so much over their sins. I don't care how much you have to mourn, but I tell you, when you see the horror and the corruption and the degradation and the damnation of your sins, you'll mourn over them. Listen here, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of righteous supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his first only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's Zechariah 12:10. This type of repentance is a despairing repentance. It never brings the individual to the place where he admits that he's guilty, lost, condemned to die, and gives God the glory. Take Judas, for instance. He recognized he had betrayed innocent blood. He recognized he had sold the Lord. And the scripture says he repented. But Judas did not repent to give God the glory. He went out and hanged himself. And the Bible says he went to his own place. Repentance which does not give God the glory and lead the sinner to Christ will lead him to despair and to hell. Repentance does not give God the glory. It's a dreadful repentance. It works death in this life and the second death in the world to come. If not, your repentance does not give God the glory. Giving God the glory is a very important omission. True repentance is the work of the Spirit of God in the heart of the sinner, and one which God accepts because it gives God the glory. Now let's weigh your repentance in the light of God's Word. First, true repentance gives God the glory because it reverences and adores God's omniscience. The repentance that gives God the glory is a confession that God knows my heart, and my cry is, O Lord, I am what thy word says I am. Nothing is hid from thine eyes. Thou knowest more about my sin than I do. You see the very recess of my soul. Nothing is hid from thine eyes. I lay bare my heart before thee. I am conscious that thy divine eye is resting upon me. I come to you hiding nothing. Thy word is true. Thy judgments are just. Now let's go a step further. Every true penitent sinner cries to God to unclothe him, that he may see himself as God sees him. The one cry of every individual whom I have ever known to get saved was, Lord, strip me. Lord, unclothe me. Lord, break me. Lord, let me see myself as I am. Thou art right. Thou art just. Thou art God. And beside thee there is none else. And as you show me myself, Lord, I'll acknowledge what you show me. Friend, this gives God the glory. This is repentance that leads to salvation because it honors God. Second, true repentance gives God the glory because the truly penitent sinner gives glory to the righteousness of God in his law. Take a peep into the closet and see that sinner on his knees, on his face before God. And you hear him say, Lord, I hate sin. I abhor sin. I do not quarrel with thy law. Thy law is just and righteous altogether. Oh, Lord, the fault is with me. I am the sinner. I have sinned. I have broken thy law. I am the transgressor. Oh, Lord, thy law is just and good, but I'm guilty. I have fallen short of the glory of God. Whatever becomes of me, O God, thy law is right. The word condemns me, but thy word is true. O God, I do not take opposition with thy word. It cuts me. It lays bare my heart. Thank you for it. But it's not so with the impenitent. He rails at the law of God. He says God is unjust. He says that the word of God is too hard. Therefore, he does not repent to give God the glory. But the individual who finds himself at the feet of God truly repenting finds himself crying, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? God is merciful to me. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm lost. I'm condemned, and that justly. Oh, God, I ought to go to hell. You ought to send me to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I take my place at thy feet as a condemned sinner. Save me or I perish. Such a sinner never takes opposition with God. He repents to give God the glory because he sees that the law of God is righteous altogether. And he knows that though he gives, he goes to hell, he goes there justly. In the third place, true repentance, which gives God the glory, is a repentance that adores and glorifies the justice of God in his punishment because of his transgression and sin. The true penitent realizes and acknowledges that God ought to punish him, that sin deserves to be punished, that sin must be punished. The true penitent cannot and will not compromise with sin. I know when I was under such conviction of sin, I felt if God did not punish me, he ought to. I knew I deserved it. I felt he ought to send me to hell. I had no quarrel with God and his justice. I knew that God is just and would be just if he sent me to hell. I believe in the study of God's word that every sinner who ever gets saved comes to the place where he gives God the glory, even though the law of God condemns him and though he sees he deserves to go to hell. He'll say amen to his own condemnation. For true repentance gives God the glory because it glorifies the sovereignty of God in his mercy. The awakened sinner who truly repents is deeply conscious of his guilt, and he realizes he has no claim on God. He also realizes that God does not have to save him, that God has no right to do anything but punish him. The truly penitent sinner comes before God empty. He realizes he's condemned to die and is justly guilty in his own sight. He realizes he's not fit to live. He realizes he has no claim on God. He realizes that he has no ground for an appeal. The sinner who gives God the glory comes before God naked, stripped of everything in the world, and takes his place before God, condemned to die. He makes the confession frank, sincere, hides nothing, stripped of all of his excuses, makes no apologies. He acknowledges the evil of his heart and takes all the blame, condemns himself, sentences himself, and submits himself to what God may sentence him to endure. Confessing hell is his desert. He feels and realizes if God will forgive him, he can. If he does, he can. And if he does not, in his heart he says, I will adore him forever and forever. The true repentant sinner can never say that he has any right to the mercy of God. Anything this side of hell is mercy. He knows that God has a sovereign right as King of Kings to execute the sentence of the law if he will, and he must leave himself absolutely in the hands of a sovereign God. God claims to be and is absolute sovereign in the realm of grace to do as he pleases with his own. We talk about free grace. Yes, it's free, but it's free in the hands of a sovereign God. There's no such a thing as sovereign grace. There's not. You talk about a sovereign grace preacher. There's no such a thing as a sovereign. grace preacher. It's God is sovereign, and grace is in his hands, in the hands of a sovereign God, to administer as he will. Then thank God he is on the throne, the God whom I know, the God of the Bible, the God who saved me, is an absolute sovereign and sits on the throne of grace as a sovereign monarch. I praise God for it. Yes, I do. And then he can save us because Christ died for us, and he can be just and justify the ungodly. When I saw that thing, it rejoiced my heart that I could be saved on the merits of Christ, and God would still be sovereign.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard was True and False Repentance by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. And write me and let me know that you heard the broadcast. Would you do that? Oftentimes now we own some new station. We have a new facility here called Radio Missions Radio. And you go there to our website, radiomission.org, and look there and it says Radio Missions Radio. You click on that and you'll be able to hear us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the broadcast, the good sound music, the gospel music from our choir and other good music. So if you would, if you need more information there, call me and let me hear from you. I hope and pray that the message has been a blessing to you. And then also remember the message, True and False Repentance, and it will send it to you in booklet form, free and postpaid. Also, at this time, let me just ask you, help us a little with the broadcast, if you will. Ask the Lord if he wants you to help us with the broadcast. Get out the gospel. That's all we do here. We just get out the gospel. We just old sinners saved by grace. Remember my phone number here, area code 225-664-8658. Goodbye and God bless you.